Joe Biden's presidential campaign got another boost this week, winning Democratic primaries in four states, Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and the biggest prize of the night, Michigan, a state Bernie Sanders had won in 2016. He's also leading in Washington, which was seen as a progressive stronghold for Sanders. Biden's campaign appeared to be in big trouble until he won South Carolina 2 weeks ago, followed by several of his primary opponents dropping out of the race. In his victory speech Tuesday, Biden said it's time for Democrats to unite to defeat President Trump.
As I said from the beginning, this election is one that has character on the ballot. The character of the candidates, the character of the nation is on the ballot. It's more than a comeback, in my view, our campaign. It's a comeback for the soul of this nation. This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on.
Biden now leads Sanders in the delegate count 864 to 710. Not done yet, though. You need 1,991 to secure that nomination. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign insisted the president is on a, quote, unstoppable drive toward reelection. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She's the co-author of Mad Men in Politics, Nostalgia and the Remaking of Modern America, and Women in the White House, Gender, Popular Culture, and Presidential Politics. She's an expert in American politics, the presidency, Congress, and public policy. Lily, good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me on today.
Well, a dramatic turnaround in this Democratic primary. Joe Biden seemed to be just losing after the first couple few states.
It wasn't just after the first couple of few states. It was even before voters were voting in Iowa and New Hampshire, and he had some lackluster performances in the debates. And while he had some front runner status in a number of polls, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not he was, you know, sort of coasting, as it were. But after the South Carolina primary, now a little over 2 weeks ago, if you can imagine that, that, you know, he sort of has the lead in terms of delegates and also really strong sort of outcomes in a whole variety of states.
We hear about the concept of momentum in these races. And I got to say, Lily, I kind of think it, you know, we overstate it sometime and it's just this sort of press notion. But it seems like South Carolina changed the momentum. Why is it that one state seems to have turned things around so much?
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily that it turned things around so much. It did for Biden. But I think what you had initially is you had unclear results in Iowa, in part because of the mechanism that was used to tally the votes. And so you had a number of days where you had no clarity with regard to who had actually won, but it was also quite close. So you had unclear results in Iowa. You had sort of not as clear decisive vote outcome in New Hampshire in terms of knocking a bunch of people out of the race. You had, again, caucuses in Nevada where Bernie Sanders won the caucuses. But again, so you have outcomes with Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and Bernie Sanders and all of these candidates in the Democratic primary, and then you have this decisive outcome, fairly decisive outcome in South Carolina. And that's followed immediately by sort of the consolidation in the field with Klobuchar and Buttigieg getting out before Super Tuesday. And so I think it was sort of a variety of different components that ultimately then led to, you know, the sort of comeback of Joe Biden, but it was also that the fragmentation in the Democratic field was sort of going on in these one-by-one primaries and caucuses.
Let's talk about everybody dropping out of the race. Now, remember when Scott Walker dropped out of the race for president, former Wisconsin governor, he said other people should follow his example and unite around an alternative to the front runner named Donald Trump then.
Right.
That didn't happen. Donald Trump won the nomination. Something very different happened with Democrats here. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there was a lot of thinking about what happened in 2016 with regard to the Republican primary and the fact that you had so many candidates who were vying for the nomination. And the whole time sort of Trump was positioned as a factional candidate, but either winning or coming in second in so many races that the sort of nobody was able to unite around particular candidates, in part because there were quite a few. I mean, I remember in 2016, when this Wisconsin essentially was Ted Cruz's last stand, even though he won it in the nomination fight. And I think that that was something that Democrats, the establishment, voters in general sort of were looking at options and sort of saying, we don't want to have that same experience.
Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University in Waukesha about the latest in the Democratic primary. Senator Bernie Sanders still in the race. He held a news conference yesterday saying, hey, his policies remain popular, he says, especially with younger voters, and Democrats can't afford to ignore him or his supporters.
Today, I say to the Democratic establishment, in order to win in the future, you need to win the voters who represent the future of our country, and you must speak to the issues of concern to them. You cannot simply be satisfied by winning the votes of people who are older.
What do you make of that message from Senator Sanders and some of what he said about what he plans to do in the debate, the scheduled debate with former Vice President Biden?
Well, and again, you know, if you look at the survey data coming out of the election this past week or the week before, is that the skew towards Biden and towards Sanders really does break down along demographic lines, that younger voters absolutely are, you know, 70-80% voting for Sanders, and older voters to that same number are generally voting for Biden. And so Sanders' argument, which is, you know, essentially you should listen to younger people who are going to be around longer, is also valid. But as I always say to my students all the time, every time we talk about this, that the younger voters don't come out and vote as much as older voters do. And this is a problem across the board because there is a lot of capacity there, but you can't necessarily rely on the folks who are 18 to 24 to propel a candidacy to the White House.
Looking at the road ahead for Senator Sanders, if he has a shot still at this nomination, what would have to happen in the remaining states?
He would have to do extremely well in terms of amassing the delegates going towards the convention in Milwaukee in the summer. And at this point, you know, the math is not necessarily working in his favor. It's possible, but the structure also of the primaries moving forward are ones that are not necessarily places and states where Senator Sanders did well in 2016. So some of the places that he did particularly well in, like Washington State, like Michigan, are already behind him. And so it's going to be harder for him to get enough delegates to surpass Biden at this point, although it's not impossible.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Casey is with us in Algoma. Casey, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Casey?
So earlier you were talking about Nevada, and I would consider that a decisive victory. The mishap in Iowa, Pete Buttigieg declaring victory, New Hampshire coming up, Pete Buttigieg declaring victory. I'm not saying that this is rigged, but I'm saying that there's a manufactured effort by both media and the party to push a potentially very flawed candidate in Biden. And the thing about youth vote, it is, in fact, up. It just turns out that older voters are also turning out more than they were in the past. I think that Biden hasn't been vetted, and Biden won't be vetted by the mainstream media because they have a vested interest in retaining the status quo. The status quo, the soul that Joe Biden wants to get back to, is the exact soul that led us to Trump and has led us to 50 years of wage stagnation. Sanders is a better general election candidate. And if they would have pushed a narrative like they have in the past, winner in Iowa, winner in New Hampshire, big winner in Nevada, we would have a whole different conversation. But it's a system that's built against a coalition that's multi-generational and multicultural. And it's a shame to see what the party and the media is doing to somebody that has legit policies. You know, and even one more thing, I apologize. Exit polls have shown after every state, on average, 30% of people are in favor, or by a percentage of 30, people are in favor of the elimination of private health care and replacing it with Medicare for all.
Casey, thanks a lot for the call. So I think a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters agree with Casey. They feel they get unfair treatment from the Democratic establishment and the media, Lily.
And I, you know, I sort of, I understand exactly what he's saying, but I am also looking at what I saw in the news, in reading and seeing what happened in Iowa in terms of the outcome, which again was not completely clear at the time. And, you know, it's remained sort of murky. And Sanders did, as I noted, have a clear win, a decisive win in the caucuses in Nevada. But then you turn around and the next election is in South Carolina, where Biden had an even more decisive win. So it's hard to sort of say, okay, Bernie Sanders had a decisive win in the caucuses in Nevada, and then Joe Biden had a decisive win in the primary in South Carolina, and then 3 days later went on to have a fairly decisive win in quite a few states. And that's the voters talking. That's not the media talking.
Casey, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about the latest in the presidential race with Lily Gorin, professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Which candidate are you supporting for president and why, whether that's within the Democratic field, much smaller than it was not that long ago, or President Trump, or another alternative? Do you support Bernie Sanders' decision to stay in the race, whether you support him or not? Do you think it's good to have that competition extended? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at the race for president. Joe Biden has a 154-delegate lead over Bernie Sanders after racking up some more victories this week. Lily Gorin is with us, professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, hopes, and fears for the presidential race. And what, if anything, does this virus outbreak, the COVID-19 outbreak, mean for politics in this country? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Margaret is with us in Madison. Margaret, hi.
Hi. Say, Lily, fascinating discussion. And I hope you all saw the analysis in New York Times this morning. Fascinating. The Biden depth of support. I think he won every single county in Michigan, every single county in Missouri, and every single county in Mississippi. It was an incredible breadth of victory for a campaign that just a few weeks ago really had no staff and no money. And I think what that shows is that people are so focused on beating Donald Trump, they are voting for the man that they think can do it.
Margaret, thanks a lot for the call. Lily, what do you think?
I mean, I think that Margaret is pointing out something that's really interesting about the Biden campaign is that there is this pretty deep support where you see the outcome in some of these races that are truly lopsided. And that it's indicative, again, of the fact that I think Margaret's conclusion may be also accurate in terms of people wanting to see somebody who they think can really take on Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that Bernie Sanders could not or cannot, but that there's the voters are suggesting that in their opinion, as Democratic voters, that they see Biden as more viable in that regard. But I also wanted to loop back to something that Casey had mentioned with regard to where voters stand on a lot of the policy issues that Senator Sanders and also Senator Warren had been advocating for on the campaign trail. And a lot of these issues are probably to the left of where Biden is on policy issues, but that the Democrats themselves are looking for advocacy on. So it may be that if Biden is the nominee, that the policy issues that he campaigns on and that the Democratic Party campaigns on, in fact, may be coming more from the campaigns and articulations that Sanders and Warren have been making in their sort of roles on the campaign trail.
Thanks for the call, Margaret. We'll bring on Marcy now in Manitowoc. Marcy, hello.
Hello. I think it's well known that the Republicans vote Democratic in the primaries for the weakest candidate to go against Trump. And they come out in groves to vote in order to get their candidate who they think would not be able to beat Trump in the election.
And okay, Marcy, thanks for the call. She's saying that Republicans vote for the Democrat in primaries in states where they can do that, who are the weakest. I know there were in South Carolina, there was a Republican campaign. I don't know how much it made a difference to get Republicans to vote for Bernie Sanders. Have you seen that kind of effort to get Republicans to intervene in the Democratic primary, Lily?
I mean, I've seen that there's been advocacy with regard to that. But again, that varies state to state, because if you're not in an open primary, then it's a lot more difficult to do that, to take the ballot from a party that may not be your own. And in places like New York State, it's actually impossible to do that, because you have to go with the party that you're, quote, registered for. And so it varies, again, based on the laws and the regulations state by state with regard to primary access and whether it's an open primary.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University in Waukesha about the presidential race. Before I go back to our callers, Lily, I want to talk about this factor that's in this race that we don't usually see, this epidemic, this disease outbreak of COVID-19 pandemic, I should say. Sorry. Of course, it means a lot of things outside of politics. What do you watch for in terms of how it's affecting how candidates on both sides are going to run here?
Well, I mean, again, we sort of have this moving and evolving situation, and you know, many of us are academics, we are being sort of put in a position where we're taking a lot of our coursework online. So each of us is being affected by it in many, many different ways. And the candidates are themselves. Both Biden and Sanders were asked by the Republican governor in Ohio, DeWine, to not hold rallies in Cleveland. And so they did not hold those rallies. And so you have this situation where, you know, on campaigns, you expect to have a lot of handshaking and open engagement. And when the epidemiologists and the medical professionals are telling us all to socially distance ourselves, then it's really going to have an impact on those kind of events. How that will also affect the primaries going forward, whether people will come out to vote as much or not, yet to be seen. And also, when you start thinking about the college populations, if you have been told by your university that we're closed down physically for the rest of the semester and everything is going online, you may be voting in your home location as opposed to your university location, which also may complicate young people's voting. And again, the 18 to 24 year old demographic is one that is not used to voting. I mean, this is what all of the studies say. And so further complications may, in fact, depress some of the youth voting because of the COVID-19 issues.
Let's go back to our callers now. Rick is with us in Evansville. Rick, hello.
Hey there. Yeah, I was just calling. Number one, I want to touch base on the idea that, you know, Iowa and Biden's complete and utter failure in Iowa should be significant, but the primary reason that I believe that Senator Sanders should stay in the race and continue to campaign as well as he can under the circumstances is to press the central issues of the central part of the Democratic Party and drag Joe Biden and the conservative corporate side of the Democratic Party back over to where the Democratic Party should be.
Rick, thanks for the call. That gets to some of what you were talking about earlier, Lily. Do you think Bernie Sanders staying in the race longer will help accomplish what Rick hopes it does, bringing the Democratic nominee, if it's Joe Biden, further to the left?
Well, I think it will push not only the nominee, but also the party potentially in that direction in terms of having advocacy with regard to policy that the Democrats will have a discussion of in Milwaukee, theoretically, this summer at the convention, what the platform says, what other Democrats will be running on. And so I think that, you know, sort of Sanders' candidacy, again, nobody's gotten enough delegates yet. So I don't think that this is over by any stretch of the imagination. But Sanders' candidacy has certainly been advocating for policies that many Democrats support, even if they may not always support the sort of tribune of those policies.
Rick, thanks for that call. Lily, I want to take a minute or so to look at Wisconsin before we're out of time. We've got this April 7th primary. We're waiting to see if it's going to matter. Are we still going to, well, you can't predict the future, but do you think we're still going to have candidates to choose from by the time that comes around?
I think we'll probably will still have candidates to choose from. And I still think, you know, I always tell all of my students to go out and vote when you the opportunities present themselves, go out and vote. And so I would not want to turn anybody off from doing that. And again, nobody has, neither of these candidates, none of the candidates in the Democratic Party have yet reached that magic number for the nomination. So by the time we roll around to April in Wisconsin, there may be more delegates allocated, but again, neither of the candidates may have reached that threshold.
And there's a thought that the Democratic primary could affect our race for state Supreme Court justice. What are you watching for there?
Well, again, there's, you know, usually when you have a presidential primary, it usually pulls more people out to vote. So the potential is that there will be more voters who come out to vote in that April primary, and that may have an impact on the judicial race. But again, this is possibly working against the COVID-19 issue, and I don't know how that's going to impact voter turnout.
Lots of variables, Lily. Thanks a lot for joining us, as always.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She's the co-author of Mad Men in Politics, Nostalgia, and the Remaking of Modern America, and other books. We talked to her today about the latest in the race for president. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, this month marks the anniversary of the passage of Act 10 in Wisconsin, which drastically limited the activities of public employee unions. We'll have the first of two conversations about the impact of Act 10. Plus, it's this week's edition of Food Friday with cooking inspiration from Native American cuisine. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.